Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. Today's topic is going to be NFL Thursday Night Football and Week 7 in review. The host will debate pro armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love in front of a live global audience. The host will recap action from NFL Week 7 and preview NFL Thursday Night Football and announce results from last night's action in the NBA and NHL. All right. So today's tags are NFL, NBA, NHL. We're going to be talking about some XFL stuff, indoor football league stuff, and NCAA football for this weekend coming up. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of news out here in sports today. Again, for those of you that's just tuning in, this is the Stogies and Beer Radio broadcast from Chula Vista, California, WBEST. This is WBEST, and I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. Stogies and Beer Radio Show can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time most of the time. Today we're going to be cutting out a little early, about 30 minutes early, so this is not going to be a two-hour show as usual. It's going to be a one-and-a-half-hour show, because the Late Night Dog got a couple things he got to take care of in his personal life. And anytime I have something going on in my personal life, the show has something going on in his personal life. So that's why I always encourage you all to make sure you have a staff of people that's around you to continue to carry on your show or your business or whatever the case may be. When you have something going on in your life, someone else is there to fill in. When you're a sole proprietor like myself, when you suffer, the show suffers. So we're going to be trying to fill some more different positions, sports contributors, a news desk person, my news desk person to be the person that fills in for me when I have something to do. And again, we're looking for some sports contributors to call the show. We're looking for a music director for the show, preferably beats and jazz, or jazz music, that's straight music, smooth jazz beats, smooth jazz music, however you want to look at it, and hip-hop beats. So that's what we're looking for. We're going to be changing some stuff on the show, changing up the format. At the same time, I just want to let everybody out there know that this show is the official platform for the Professional Armchair Quarterback to call in and banter and debate the host about the show that they love the most. This week on this show, it is a lot of football, a lot of NFL and stuff that we talk about, because this is a football talk show. But we cover the NBA, we cover scores for the National Hockey League, we cover Major League Baseball. Speaking of Major League Baseball, the World Series starts this Friday. The Philadelphia Phillies taking on the Houston Astros. Phillies took my Padres out this past weekend. My San Diego Padres got taken out by the Phillies this past weekend, and then the Yankees got took care of by the Houston Astros. So Friday, Major League Baseball action. We'll be talking about a lot of that stuff coming up on the next week when we get those results from this week's action in Major League Baseball. But we will be shouting out some National Hockey League scores and things like that. Soccer scores, whatever come across the wire. I try to at least cover every sport, every major sport, major four or five sports in the United States. NHL being the fourth major sport, soccer being the fifth. Or if you listen in overseas, soccer is considered football in Europe. American football is the NFL here. Anyway, if you'd like to call into the show, the telephone to call in and debate the host is 515-602-9687. If you'd like to call in and debate the host this morning, the telephone number is 515-602-9687. It is 54 degrees in San Diego, California, and sunny. 54 degrees and sunny in San Diego. I want to give a big shout-out to one of my last year rookies that came out of Division II Stonehill College, Big Nate Bresson, Big Bress. I want to give him a shout-out for signing his contract with the Northern Arizona Wranglers. He signed his contract yesterday for the IFL Indoor Football League, which that league is has a partnership now to be the minor league for the XFL, which is a good thing. So my guys that signed here recently that signed IFL contracts, I got two of them that signed contracts with the Tucson Sugar Skulls, and then I got Nate Bresson. He signed a contract yesterday with the Northern Arizona Wranglers, and they are the last year's champion in 2022, and they're probably going to make another championship run more than likely in 2023. So he signed on with a championship contender, and so we're gonna wish him the best. But again, congratulations, Nate Bresson, for signing your second pro contract, and this one is in the Indoor Football League versus last year, which is fan-controlled football. This one is going to be the Indoor Football League, and he is a defensive end out of Stonehill College and from the fan-controlled football league. So he's going to be getting the opportunity in the Indoor Football League this year to showcase for the XFL and possibly move up and get a workout to move up. So anyway, last night we had a lot of action in the National Basketball League. You know, I'm from Louisiana. That's my home state, so I'm all things Louisiana native, all things Louisiana sports, whether it's college or pro. So, with that being said, last night the Pelicans, they took on the Dallas Mavericks, and it was a hard-fought game. The Pelicans pulled it out, I believe, 113-111. They was able to Luka Doncic could have hit a walk-off three, but he missed it. You know, I missed the last couple ticks of that game, so I don't even remember how they even got in that position, because I do know that I saw the Pelicans score then. I stepped away for like a hot second, came back. I'm going to say maybe 30 seconds, came back, and then the Pelicans had the ball, taking it out of bounds. I'm like, how did they get the ball back? And Luka Doncic can hit from three. He can do a walk-off three-point shot. And I've seen him do it against the Clippers. He put the Los Angeles Clippers out. That's my NBA team, because they came from San Diego, which is I'm a resident in San Diego, have been for a long time now. And so you know, I'm all about anything also from San Diego. San Diego, well, it was the San Diego Chargers. It was the San Diego Clippers, but now they both have the L.A. title on them. But, you know, we still know where they came from. So I still follow the Chargers and the Clippers. But I think Luka Doncic hit a walk-off three, I believe, in the COVID-19 in the bubble. Hit a walk-off three on the Clippers. So I knew last night he had the capability of hitting a walk-off three against the Pelicans. And plus, we didn't have Zion. We didn't have Ing. You know, Ingram, he's out, and he's not even in concussion protocol. He's in pre-concussion protocol, waiting to get in for concussion protocol. I mean, the NBA being a more physically contact sport than the NFL. Can you imagine that? The NBA, in my opinion, is more physically contact, a more physical contact sport than the NFL. And their concussion protocol is very strict, maybe because they don't have a helmet on. If you bounce your head off a wood deck, you probably do need to have a more stricter protocol, unlike the NFL, which is helmets, pads, and all that stuff. Not to say that concussions don't happen there, because we know they do. We know they do in the NFL, too. But I'm just kind of, like, laughing the fact that seems like the NBA has more physical contact now, or more physical contact is allowed than the NFL. But that's a topic for another time. The other thing I want to get back to the Pelicans and the Mavericks. I hated the fact that Zion Williams wasn't out there. There was a game that I really wanted to see him play in. Plus, I know the fans that bought their ticket, the Smoothie King, would have wanted to see him play against Luka Doncic and all those guys. And his guys, Dimwitty and Woods and all those guys. I know he wanted to see them. You know, people wanted to see him play in that game last night. But the good thing they're saying is Zion Williams should be back for the next game. I think that's probably Friday night that he should be back for the next game with against the Phoenix Suns. So that's going to be a good game too. He'll be taking on Chris Paul and Devin Booker. But let's transition to that game with Chris Paul and Devin Booker taking on the they went at it last night with the Golden State Warriors. And the Phoenix Suns pulled it out. They pulled it out. They pulled it out. So that was a good win for the Phoenix Suns last night, defeating the Golden State Warriors. I forgot what the score was. I think it was at least by 9 or 10, if I'm correct. If I'm saying it wrong, please feel free to call into the show at 515-602-9687 and correct me or debate me. Again, the call-in line is 515-602-9687 if you want to come on the show. So last night there was a good game. Klay Thompson got ejected last night. First time Klay Thompson ever been ejected from an NBA game in his career. First ejection he ever suffered. But the thing about it is, you know, it's come across the wire that and the score again for the Pelicans and the Mavericks was 113-111. I had that correct. I'll get you the score on this game. I'm talking about now the Golden State Warriors and the Phoenix Suns. But back to Klay Thompson's ejection. They said across the wire that Klay Thompson was ejected for the first time in his career, and the reason why he was ejected is because he got picked off with Devin Booker. He got ticked off at Devin Booker because across the wire they're saying that Devin Booker was giving it to him all night. Devin Booker was in his grill playing D. He was sticking tight D. And Klay Thompson couldn't stop him from scoring. I believe Devin Booker had 34 points. Most of that probably, I got to verify, but I believe most of that came on Klay Thompson's watch. So Klay Thompson, you know, they're saying that he can't, his lateral movement is debilitated because of the surgeries and everything like that, the two major injuries he had to his knees. They said his lateral movement isn't the same as it used to be. Plus, he's getting a little bit older. You got to remember these guys had three rings before this last one, which made four. So these guys have been around for a while. I think they really got hot back in maybe 2012, 2013, somewhere up in there, 2013, if I'm correct. Because, you know, I remember I used to watch their games when I was working out at a casino, and it was in 2015 when I was doing some security work at a casino back in the day, and I would always watch the playoffs on the monitor, and that's the year, in 2015, that's the year that the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors, that 2015 was the first year they showed up in against the Cleveland Cavaliers. So I'm going to say let's go back to 2012. I believe those guys been together, Draymond, Clay, and Steph Curry. They've been together since about 2012, if I'm correct. Again, if I'm saying that wrong, please call into the show to correct me at 515-602-9687, and you can correct me and debate me at the same time on all the stuff that I'm talking about. But last night, it's just so funny that Klay Thompson did get ejected for the first time in his career because Devin Booker was just giving it to him. However, Devin Booker said in the interview after the game, he said, hey, man, you know, I love Klay Thompson. I love competing against him. And he just felt like, you know, it's no big deal. We'll get over it. That's how we do. We're always getting at each other. We always jawing at each other, you know. So it gets chippy when we play. It's just the competitive nature of him and me. But we'll be all right. You know, I think his attitude was they will be all right. He said that, you know, he loves Klay Thompson. And that's what it's all about. You know, you leave all that stuff on the court. You don't take it off the court and, you know, in the streets. You know, you leave it on the court. And that's what I like about Devin Booker because, you know, he's like, when I'm on the court, hey, you know, I respect you, I love you, but I got to give it to you. I even heard Shaquille O'Neal saying last night on my monitor. He was saying that, hey, you know, when I was playing ball, I loved David Robinson, the Admiral, but I got to give it to you. He's like, I love Patrick Ewing, but I got to kill you. I love Akeem Olajuwon. I can't kill you, but I got to try to pass you in the record books. So it's like Shaq understood why Devin Booker said what he said, where he said, hey, I love Klay Thompson, but when it come down to this basketball game, when it come down to us performing on the court, I got to give it to you. I got to give you my all. And I think Klay Thompson got frustrated last night. You know, just a typical old line versus young line. The old line, he's going to probably be moving on to another team soon. And, you know, because, you know, this is the business of this game. The Golden State Warriors, they just paid three guys. I think they just paid Wiggins. I think they just paid Poole. And I think they just paid, I forgot the other guy's name. But I think they paid three guys. Kuminga. I think they just paid Kuminga. Then, you know, they still trying to keep their key elements, like, you know, Kevon Looney. I think this is just his correct first name. But Looney, I think they had to, you know, he probably already got his money, so they still paying him. So, I mean, you know, somebody like a Clay, you know, they got to move on from you, just like they had to move on from guys like Harrison Barnes, Mo Spates, different ones back in the day. They had to move on. They got to move people on because this is a business. And, you know, when people start, you know, losing a step or slowing down just a little bit, we got to move you on while you're still valuable and get something for you. And still keep the championships rolling through the Bay Area, so you know it's something. But yeah, last night Klay Thompson ejected for the first time in his career. Devin Booker got in his head and you know upset him. You know Devin Booker was giving it to him all night, so I guess Klay Thompson didn't like that. But going back to the Pelicans game, the Pelicans with the playing against the Dallas Mavericks without Ingram, without Zion Williams, without Herb Jones, you know, they had three key players out. And who had to anchor that ship? We had a Valanciunas, and you had my man, who's that, from Portland. It's still early in the morning, so I'm trying to get my names down pat. But they had to basically out – it'll come to me. CJ, I got to thank CJ's last name in my head. It's still early. I had my coffee. Forgive me, people. Forgive me, CJ. But anyway, from Portland, the big trade acquisition from Portland. Everybody know who I'm talking about. I'm just trying to get. I'm still waking up. I apologize. But those two had to anchor their team last night for the Pelicans. So when it all comes down to it, I'm just CJ McCullough. Sorry, CJ McCullough last night, along with Valanciunas, they both had good games. CJ McCullough, they came from the Portland Trailblazers. That's who I'm speaking of, guys. Just like I said, sorry, it's still early. So I guess we've got the Nets at the Bucks. The Nets at the Bucks going to be coming up, and then we've got the Lakers at the Nuggets. So I think that's tonight. The Nets and the Bucks. The Lakers at the Nuggets definitely tonight. So Nets and the Bucks, I got the Bucks on that one. Lakers at the Nuggets, I got the Nuggets on that one. They, you know, they still talking this morning about Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook not being happy with his situation, saying that Darvin Ham, I believe it is Darvin Ham, saying that he was letting him get away with what he wanted to do, but then this last game, I guess when he benched him with 4 minutes left in the game, I believe, somewhere up in there, he benched him. I guess they're saying that Russell Westbrook is pissed off about it and this tension between him and the coach, this, that, and the other, you know, but the whole thing's a mess. Just go ahead and get Russell out of there. Get him traded. I would just say ask him to go home. Just say, just Russ, you got your money, man. Right now we're going to just, you know, this ain't working out. Just go ahead and go home and collect your check. Keep training till we can figure out somewhere for you to go. But right now it ain't working out with you being in the locker room. It ain't working out with you being on the bench. It ain't working out with you being on the court. It just ain't working out. So we're going to just allow you to go ahead and go home. You know, like some, like if people back in, well, here recently, I'm going to say here recently in football, I'm going to give you two analogies, two stories in football. Back in the day for the Tennessee Titans when they had rest in peace, Steve McNair, him and Jeff Fisher, I guess, couldn't get it all worked out. And then so management was just like, you know, hey, just kill his access card to the facility. Steve McNair rolls up to work one day, and he's like, my key don't work. So obviously somebody must have came out with his bags and his personal effects and said, you no longer allowed in the facility. We're facilitating the trade. You're no longer allowed in the facility while we are facilitating this trade. We just want to get you away from the team. And so they treated him like a cancer. Same thing here recently with Jimmy Garoppolo in the NFL for the San Francisco 49ers. They he tried to use his key to come to work. Well, they didn't do it that dirty, but you can come to work, but you're going to be practicing on a whole other field than what we're practicing on, because we're just waiting around for you to be traded. But if it's a slim chance of you coming back, we'll at least allow you to work with the trainers to make sure you're in shape, make sure you still got the plays in your head, but you won't be participating with the team. So it's like he was able to come in the facility, but he was isolated. Russell Westbrook just needs to be in a situation where he's totally away from the team for his sanity. I really could care less about the team. I mean, I like the Lakers. I like LeBron James, but I was going to like the whole thing, the way this thing has played out publicly in the media, you know, with Russell Westbrook. Because right now, every morning you wake up, they're talking like Russell Westbrook is like the worst player they ever seen. I mean, this man is top 75 player in NBA history, top 75 in history, and he's a walking triple-double, walking triple-double. I believe he's still a walking triple-double on the right team. So, you know, it's a mess when you get older and you maybe lose a little bit of a step, but you still feel like you can do what you once did. But I guess right now they're saying the media, the public don't feel like Russell Westbrook is the same player that he used to be a few years ago. Well, all this stuff is opinion based. They're saying across the wire, the Pelicans beat the Mavericks 113-111 despite missing Zion and Brandon Ingram. Is New Orleans a legitimate Western Conference contender? Yes. Because if you look at Zion Williams, the way he looks, I mean, I didn't think he was out of shape in the first place. I mean, I thought he was just always a big guy, a big kid, you know. He's still young, so I use the word kid, but he is a grown man. But I just thought he was always a big kid, and kid meaning younger man. So I just thought he was just a big, thick kid coming out of Duke. But whatever diet he's on, whatever he's doing now, you can tell that he's slimmed down. He's trimmed down a good little bit, and he's explosive. He's quick. He's explosive. I hate that they took him out the other night. You know, whoever whoever went up under him took him out. Now he has a hip bruise or hip contusion or whatever. Something slight, you know, just like when we're average Joe's playing rec league ball, you bust your butt, bust your tail on the concrete, on the court or on the concrete, wherever you're playing at, you know, it happens. But he looks like he's going to be fine for Friday night, and he'll be able to come out there and dominate 9 times out of 10 DeAndre Ayton. He'll be able to dominate him down low and do what he do, because I don't think that DeAndre Ayton got nothing for Zion Williams. So with that being said, you know, that's going to be a good game Friday night, and I will be tuned in. I will be tuned in for that. I want to see that game, because if we can get a win against Dallas and get a win against Phoenix on Friday, yes, we are a Western Conference contender. I'm looking at contender. So, and we're going to probably do that without Ingram and without Herb Jones. I think Herb Jones got a hyperextended knee, and Ingram, like I said, he's still in pre-percussion protocol. I mean, it's a lengthy process for him to come back. So I'm like, hopefully within the next 2 weeks, we can get Ingram back. But Friday night, I believe as long as we got Zion, C.J. McCollum, and we got doggone Valanciunas, I think we got a hell of a chance to win this game. I think we got a hell of a chance to win this game. Matter of fact, Ayton will be responsible for Valanciunas, but it's somewhere up in there, Aiden's going to have to get on Zion Williams. Somewhere up in there, Ayton's going to have to, you know, deal with Zion Williams at some point. So it's going to be a good game. I'm excited about it. Staying across the mind, the Nets as dangerous as Bucks in the East. Nets at the Bucks tonight, 7:30 Eastern on ESPN. Yep, 7:30 on ESPN, NBA, and Stephen A. World on ESPN, too. So you can catch it up with Stephen A. Smith on his show on ESPN, too, Stephen A.'s World. You can catch whatever he's going to be saying on there. But the Nets at the Bucks tonight, 7:30 Eastern. That's 4:30 Pacific on the ESPN. Are the Nets as dangerous as the Bucks in the East? No, they are not. No, they are not. Because the reason being, although Durant and Kyrie are playing, they still got that missing piece. That third piece is still missing. Right now in the NBA, you can't have a big one, a big two. You got to have your big three. And Ben Simmons is a big three guy, but for whatever reason, you know, the media, people, everybody involved has made him passive-aggressive. They made him passive-aggressive. He's not aggressive. He's pretty much just passing the ball off to somebody else. He doesn't want to take the shots because he doesn't want to be responsible. He doesn't want to be talked about like Russell Westbrook, obviously, because Russell Westbrook takes a lot of shots because he is aggressive. He's not passive-aggressive. Ben Simmons is playing kind of, in my opinion, from what I'm seeing on the monitor, he's playing passive-aggressive in basketball. And I just feel like they need to just keep feeding him down low and let him be dominant. Don't worry about shooting a mid-range jump shot and all that, a three-pointer. Just keep him down low so he can dominate down low. Let him play big man basketball and let him play defense because he's one of the best defenders in the NBA. Whether he's showing that right now or not doesn't matter. He's one of the best defenders in the NBA. Still, in my opinion, he has won Defensive Player of the Year, if I'm correct, or at least been nominated for it. But if I'm correct, he has won Defensive Player of the Year while he was in Philadelphia. And then one thing about the media can kill people's spirit. The media can kill people's will. It doesn't make any sense. But anyway, it's 29 in the morning. This is Stogies and Mid Radio, so the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and talk about the sport he or she loves. To call in to the show, I've already given you guys the call-in number a couple of different times, but I'm going to give it to you again. And that is going to be 515-602-9687. Call in to the show, 515-602-9687, if you'd like to call in and debate the host about the sport you love. If you want to talk about what we're talking about, that's fine. If not, you can call in and talk about camel racing, dog racing, pie eating contest, hot dog eating contest, water polo, handball, pickleball, whatever your sport is, you can call in. And if we don't know about it, you can teach us about it. If you don't know what we're talking about, we can teach you about what we're talking about. But anyway, this is the Stokers of Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. Time is 8:29 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and it is 56 degrees Fahrenheit and sunny in San Diego, California. For those just tuning in, the NFL the topic today is NFL Thursday Night Football and Week 7 in review. The host of the Bay Pro Armchair Quarterbacks regarding the sport they love in front of a live global audience. The host will recap action from NFL Week 7 and preview NFL Thursday Night Football and announce results from this from last night's action in the NBA and NHL. So we've been talking a lot about the NBA this morning. We'll get some NHL scores and some soccer scores on up here soon. Soccer meaning football in Europe, if anybody's listening in from the UK, which I do have listeners from the UK. Well, from Europe, I'll just say listeners from Europe. I have people that have been on my show from the UK. And so when we come back, we're going to try to get off into some NFL football and see what's going on tonight and with Thursday Night Football. I think the Bengals are playing tonight, somebody. Thursday Night Football is kind of tricky. It's kind of like one of them weird nights of the week, Thursday Night Football. I mean, it's been around for about 10 years now, I guess, but it's just like I'm still getting used to it. I grew up watching my football on Sunday. Saturday is college, Sunday is the NFL, and then now they got this weird Thursday in the middle, and it's kind of like hard for me to kind of like figure out who's playing sometime. I kind of keep missing it on my monitor, but we'll find out. We'll get the details on that, or if you want to call in and let me know who that is, feel free to call in at 515-602-9687. And this is the Stokers of Beer Radio. So I'm going to go off into my music mix so the late night dog can get some coffee in him and wake up. I'm going to go off into my music mix, so stand by. Hello and welcome back to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. For those of you just tuning in, I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning time on Dickie. It's 8:35 a.m. It is 56 degrees and sunny in San Diego, California. Today's topic is Thursday Night Football and Week 7 in review. The host of the Bay Pro Armchair Quarterbacks regarding the sport they love in front of a live global audience. The host will recap action from NFL Week 7 and preview NFL Thursday Night Football and announce results from last night's action in the NBA and NHL. Well, let's get off into some NFL stuff. A lot of stuff from across the wire about the National Football League. National Football League, you know, they're basically still trying to say, you know, who got the worst situation, Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. Who got the worst situation? Well, in my opinion, I'll say, I don't know who got the worst situation. I'll say that Aaron Rodgers' problem is he's dealing with inexperience from his wide receiving core, and Tom Brady is dealing with personal problems in his marital life, which is being played out in public. I won't say it's being played out in a negative, nasty way. I'll just say that the media does know that his wife supposedly filed for a divorce. So I'm quite sure that, you know, that's weighing heavy on his mind, trying to figure out should he had a came back, should he had a stayed home. I'm quite sure everything is going through his mind. Did he make the right or wrong decision when it comes down to being a family man, being at home with the wife and the kids? You know, did he make the right or wrong choice? You know, I can kind of understand where he's coming from, because when you're an athlete, and I was an athlete to some degree, I had aspirations to be a professional boxer. At one time, my wife was pregnant when I was in the prime of my life. My wife was pregnant and everything like that. And it was some days, you know, when I got off work, I was in the military. I was boxing while I was in the military, doing the boxing smokers and then trying to get my amateur USA boxing amateur card and get all that stuff set up. Had a good coach, just had so many problems. Had a good coach. My coach was a Olympic bronze medalist. He fought on the same team with George Foreman. He trained people like Sugar Ray Leonard for the Pan Am Games, Aaron Pryor for the Pan Am Games. I mean, my coach that I was blessed with was thick in knowledge. He was a, like I said, Olympic bronze medalist, and I believe in 1970-something, I can't remember, or in the 60s, 1968, 1970, somewhere up in there. But anyway, he fought on the same team in Mexico City with George Foreman. So that means you're good. But I had relocated a little bit outside of San Diego and didn't have a car. So I was training myself in this community right outside of San Diego, because I couldn't get to my original trainer. But at the time, my wife was pregnant, to make a long story short, and I had to kind of decide, when I get off work, am I going to the gym in the opposite direction of where I live, or am I going home and be with my wife who's pregnant with my kid? Or when my daughter was born, am I going to the gym to train, or am I coming home to my wife and my child? Yeah, because I haven't seen them all day. I mean, it's a thing. I mean, when you're in sports, whether it's regular sports or sports and entertainment like the wrestling or whatever, you know, whether it's WWE or traditional sport, what I'm saying is when you're in a sports and entertainment situation, you're always making difficult decisions. Even when you're like in music as a producer, as an artist, am I going to the studio or am I going home to be with my wife and my kids? Anytime you take on a family and you're trying to make your dreams come true, like Tom Brady, his dreams had already came true, of course. But, I mean, you have that hunger to still participate in your professional career in sports and entertainment. Somebody's going to miss out. And if you have total dedication to what you're doing, a lot of times your family is going to miss out. And they're going to have to understand. I remember Stone Cold Steve Austin. On you know, they do on Sunday nights on A&E, they do these wrestling stories. And I'm glad they did it, because it gave me an insight on the dedication that a lot of these athletes, and wrestlers are athletes. It's scripted entertainment, but they're still athletes because you still have to perform those moves, those stunts. And it's dangerous. So the thing about Stone Cold Steve Austin, he said something that made sense in my head. He said he knew, in order for him to be the best that he could be, he was going to have to be selfish. He was going to have to be about what he was trying to do, 100% focus on Stone Cold Steve Austin. Not who he was at home, whatever his real name is in real life. He was going to have to focus. He had to put that person aside and pretty much live his alter ego 24/7 as much as he could. Besides the time when he could carve out family time and be a family man. You know, when he decided that he was going to do that on whatever particular day that was. But the point I'm making is that Steve Austin made it very clear to me, and I understand what Tom Brady is dealing with. I don't understand it to the 100% degree because I'm not Tom Brady. I'm not in his head. And Steve Austin and Tom Brady are two different people. But I can kind of imagine being an athlete and going through something similar when it comes down to making the decision between training, participating, and your family. I can understand because to make it to the point that you're trying to make it to a legendary status, you have to be selfish. It has to be about what you're trying to do. Everything outside of that, kids, wife, it has to be on the back burner for at least about 85% of the time, 90% of the time until you retire. So when Tom retired, I'm quite sure his wife, Giselle, the supermodel, I'm quite sure that his wife was upset. Like, you're going back? You retired. Why are you going back? You know, and I think she had said some stuff about concussion, the concussion protocol stuff. She had leaked some information that Tom has been concussed a couple different times or whatever the case may be. I don't know all this stuff for fact, and I always like to say anything on my show, and, you know, if it's a fact, I'll say it's a fact. If it's just hearsay, which is what I'm talking about right now, what's going on in Tom Brady's household is all hearsay. This is hearsay stuff. So, now, I do think that factually that Giselle did come out on a talk show and did say she spoke to the fact of him having concussions, and the team, I guess, didn't particularly know it because he didn't reveal it to them. Because he wanted to continue to play. Whatever the case may be, I'm quite sure all those things with CTE, all this stuff. We got people like Junior Seau who killed himself, if I'm correct, you know, because he had CTE and some other different athletes that suffered from CTE. I'm quite sure his wife, Tom Brady's wife, was like, I don't want you to go back and play. But Tom being the competitor that he is, it's like, I'm not ready to stay home and mow the yard yet. I understand that the kids won't be at home tossing the ball around and going to their soccer games and all this different stuff and reading bedtime stories. I'm quite sure he understood and was aware of that. But when you're not ready to come off out of your professional life yet, usually the family is going to always suffer if you're 100% focused and dedicated. The reason why my boxing career didn't go the way I needed go because I lost 100% dedication because I started finding myself saying instead of going to the boxing gym, I'm going to go home and be with my family and I'll just train at home. I can, you know, I start making excuses. Well, I can shadow box in the living room. I can, you know, go and run, you know, run a little bit, you know, when I get off work and then just go and come on back in the house. But if you're not in that environment where you're hearing the gym bag going, the heavy bag, when you're not hearing the speed bag going, you're not hearing the thumping on the heavy bag, when you're not hearing that clock counting down the rounds and the rest minutes, if you're not in that environment, the smell of sweaty, stinky leather from the boxing gloves, if you're not in that environment, I knew that I was not going to thrive because I wasn't 100% focused. Tom Brady, 100% focused. Steve Austin spoke of being 100% focused because you're only going to have one shot at being a legend because you only have one life, one lifetime. So Tom Brady right now, his focus right now isn't 100% nine times out of ten because he's dealing with a public divorce and then he's dealing with a bad team. The team is not winning right now, and I don't think it's just him. I just think they're not clicking on all cylinders. They got a new coach who is a defensive coach, and they got Byron Leftwich as the offensive coordinator. Now they're questioning, if I'm remembering right, yesterday was questioning a day or two ago. They're questioning, is the play calling from Byron Leftwich going to be sufficient? Did he still need Bruce Arians on there to tell him which plays that he drew up that they were going to run? It's sort of looking like now Bruce Arians should have just stayed on the sideline, but Tom Brady didn't want him on the sideline. Tom Brady wanted him out of there, probably out of the organization, but he wound up going upstairs and then having him appoint Todd Bowles as a minority hire, which was a good thing. But Todd Bowles had been a head coach before with New York. He had Geno Smith, if I'm correct, and nothing really worked out, and he had a quarterback like Geno Smith. So, I mean, you kind of got to look at some of this stuff. And I ain't trying to knock Todd Bowles. I mean, you know, we don't have enough minority coaches in the system as it is, especially black coaches. I think we got a couple, but it's still not a whole lot. I think we got Lovie Smith in Houston, Todd Bowles in Tampa Bay. We got one more. I'm just trying to think of it off the top of my head. Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh. So I think we got three. So to be fair, I'm gonna say maybe four. And I'm gonna go as far as saying five. I'm gonna just say we probably got a couple more out there that's not off the top of my head. But anyway, Todd Bowles had Geno Smith. Geno Smith was a beast in Houston in West Virginia. I believe he was a first round draft pick. I don't know how far he went down in the first round, but I believe he was a first-round draft pick out of West Virginia. He was playing a hell of a lot of good ball in West Virginia. So all I'm saying is that Todd Bowles had Geno Smith, but look at Geno Smith now when he finally got another real opportunity to be a starter in the league. Look at him now. He's throwing the ball, putting the ball downfield. I think he got a 73% passer rating, and I think that's the highest in the NFL. And this is a man who just took over for Russell Westbrook. Now look at what Russell Wilson. He just took over for Russell Wilson in Seattle. And look at Russell Wilson's woes and struggles right now. Now they're saying he got a grade 2 shoulder separation. You know, anytime these athletes start struggling, especially at the quarterback position, oh, they got a high ankle sprain or grade 2 separated shoulders. All this stuff. Just say you're playing bad. That's my opinion. That ain't a fact. He could be injured, you know, just like Baker Mayfield. He could have been injured, you know. I just feel like a lot of the quarterbacks that are in the media, and when they start struggling, we're going to go ahead and sit him down for a while. I think that's just their way of saying, hey, I just need to just be away from this for a while. Let me just sit on the bench. Let me just look for a while, see what's going on. You know, let me check my desire to win. I don't know. Like I said, I've never played the position of quarterback. I was a subpar DB, subpar linebacker, subpar fullback, subpar special teamer, you know, although I started on special teams as an up back. But my whole thing is my football career was subpar. I knew in my heart I wasn't going to the NFL, so I'm not trying to sit up here and act like I knew everything about what these guys are going through because I didn't play at that level. I'd be the first one to tell you. I've been an athlete. I've been at a certain level of athleticism, but I'm not going to tell you that I got to the point to where nobody was trying to pay me a check. So with that being said, all I'm saying is that Todd Bowles had Geno Smith before in New York, if I'm remembering right. If I'm not correct, call into the show and correct me at 515-602-9687. Again, 515-602-9687 to call in and debate me or correct me. But Todd Bowles had Geno Smith, and I don't believe he had a winning record there. I don't think he had a winning record there. And I think this was after Rex Ryan left. After Rex Ryan left, and Rex Ryan had Mark Sanchez, and Rex Ryan was able to take the New York Jets past the New England Patriots. But once Todd Bowles came in there, and he had Geno Smith, to be honest with you, I think Geno Smith was a hell of a lot better than Mark Sanchez. I think Mark Sanchez was a good college player, a decent pro player, but I think Geno Smith in college was better than Mark Sanchez at USC, if I'm remembering correctly. And I believe that Mark Sanchez came out of USC, got drafted to the New York Jets. And Sanchez had some success in the NFL. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, they were the only ones able to beat the Patriots. Then Todd Bowles comes in. He gets Geno Smith. Not a good team. Todd Bowles now has the greatest, the GOAT, Tom Brady. Not a good team. Okay? So, I mean, there's something to be said about that. That's all I'm saying. There's something to be said about that. When you start looking at, you know, these guys, you know, inheriting these good quarterbacks, one guy inherited two good quarterbacks and you can't win, probably because you're a defensive-minded coach and probably because you needed somebody like Bruce Arians on the sideline. They called him the quarterback whisperer for something, for a reason. He was in Pittsburgh whispering in Bruce in the ear of the great Ben Roethlisberger, and they were winning. So, I mean, you start looking at it. Todd Bowles, is he known for success? Not really. Bruce Arians? Yes. Bruce Arians with Byron Leftwich? Yes. Todd Bowles with Byron Leftwich? No. And I'm not knocking Todd Bowles. I think what he is just a hell of a defensive coordinator, and ain't nothing wrong with that. He's a defensive coach. And am I happy for the minority hiring? Yes. And am I happy that he got a Super Bowl contender, ready-made situation in the GOAT, Tom Brady, with Mike Evans and Leonard Fournette? Yes, but why are they not winning? It's a reason why they're not winning, people. That's all I'm saying. So, anyway, it is what it is. It is what it is. You know, they're asking right now on the monitor, the question on the monitor is, more trustworthy in Kyler or Kirk? More trustworthy in Kyler Murray or Kirk Cousins? I think both of them are playing good ball. Week 8, Cardinals, 3-4 at the Vikings, 5-1, Sunday 1 Eastern. Week 8, Cardinals, 3-4 at the Vikings, 5-1, Sunday 1 Eastern. Who's going to win that game? The Vikings are 5-1. I'm putting my money on the Vikings. Anytime you're 6-0 and 5-1, that means you're playing damn good ball. The knock on the Vikings is, oh, they haven't played. Nobody else worth anything. I could care less. Everybody in the NFL is a professional football player. Everybody in the NFL, every organization in the NFL is a professional football team. So however you want to look at that, I got my money on Kirk Cousins. And at the same time, Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury, they've been having their issues. They played out the other night. When he told the coach, when Kyler Murray ran over there, little Kyler Murray ran over there and told the coach, calm the bleep down, calm the bleep down. Let me work. Get out my ear. So, you know, that played out last week in public, so we'll see what happens. They downplayed it, but, you know, it's obviously some frustration there. Also across the wire, Mike McCarthy doesn't go for it once on fourth down against the Lions. Mike McCarthy doesn't go for it once on fourth down against the Lions. Are the Cowboys not being aggressive enough with Dak back in the lineup? Are the Cowboys not being aggressive enough with Dak back in the lineup? They got the Cowboys, the Bears at the Cowboys, Cowboys minus 9.5 points. Bears at Cowboys. Cowboys projected to win minus 9.5. Well, no, they're not aggressive enough. They've never been aggressive with Dak. That's why they call him Dinkin' Dak, because he does a lot of dinking and dunking, a lot of passing underneath, throwing the ball to the sticks to get the first down. When you're talking about going downfield, the threat, he will go downfield. He got a good arm, he'll go downfield, but they've always been a somewhat conservative offense because they don't want to turn the ball over, obviously, with Dak going down the field so much. They don't want to, you know, turn the ball over, have all these mistakes. So it's easy, use my running back. You got Ezekiel Elliott. You got Pollard. You know, use your running backs. You know, have your wide receivers when you can get across the 50-yard line and go ahead and throw, you know, a 20, 30-yard strike. You know, so I don't think that Dak is that type of aggressive quarterback. And if he is, the play callers, they don't want him to just be throwing bombs downfield. Like Geno Smith, you can tell Geno Smith, he's throwing bombs. Geno Smith putting the ball downfield. Because, first of all, Geno Smith has a bigger arm, and his accuracy. Like I said, Geno Smith from the start of West Virginia, I don't care what nobody said. That's an ACC school, and he was good. I don't know what happened with the New York Jets. I think, you know, he broke his jaw. Well, he got his jaw broke in a fight, if I'm remembering right, with some offensive lineman or some defensive lineman. Got hit in the jaw and his jaw was broke, so that was a problem. can't play when you're in pain, and then something else, and you just wind up getting traded. Okay, fine. Then he bounced around San Diego. You're not going to start in front of Phillip Rivers. Unfortunately, Geno, you're not going to take Phillip Rivers' job. And then and I think he was one more place, and it didn't work out. But, you know, when you're a star, a college star and a somewhat NFL star, and then you're trying to get traded to another team behind a mega star like a Phillip Rivers or Aaron Rodgers or one of them like that, you don't look to start. You don't look to start. You're gonna be holding the clipboard until the right opportunity comes. So then he goes to Seattle. He's sitting behind Russell Wilson for a few years. You're not gonna take Russell Wilson's job because the style of that Russell Wilson played was, I got a big arm, I can put it downfield, and if I don't see it, I'm gonna take off on you. Simple as that. That formula got them to the Super Bowl. Twice, if I'm correct. They won one, and then they dropped another one. But the point that I'm making is that Dak ain't being aggressive because they're not calling the plays for him to be aggressive. It's all use your running back, quarterback manage the game, you know, run the ball on third down. Dak kind of reminds me of Bobby Hebert for the Saints back in the day. That's who he reminds me of, Bobby Hebert. You know, we're gonna run the ball with our running backs, Ironhead Hayward, Dalton Hilliard, and then Reuben Mays. We're going to use our running backs, and we're going to throw the ball to Obi Brenner across the middle on a slant on third down. That was the formula for the Saints. Don't get me wrong. 1 year that formula, they won. They went 13-3. That formula worked. They went 13-3, and that formula can work for the Cowboys. And so, I'm not saying that they can't. I think they still got enough time to pull off 13 games with that formula that they're running. So, then you know, in the press they're saying is Mike McCarthy, is he not? You know, him being the coach, is he not being aggressive since Dak has come back? Which is what the monitor was saying, is Mike McCarthy not aggressive enough with Dak being back? Well, I don't think he should be. That was never the formula for them to be aggressive. Since he's been there, they've been playing the same way, underneath stuff. But I trust Mike McCarthy because he's done what? Won the Super Bowl. I trust Mike McCarthy because he had who? Aaron Rodgers. So, I mean, what are we talking about, people? What are we talking about? The bottom line is the plan just has to – any plan can work. Any plan can work. It just has to be executed at the right time, on the right team. You have to game plan. Now, if it's a team that you can open up and be aggressive on, which I thought that the Lions would have been the perfect team for them to light them up down the field. Especially after Amon-Ra St. Brown went out. When he went out, you know, I thought that they was going to be able to come in and do some major damage. But I think the game was played pretty tight, but you know, the Lions, they imploded, you know, that down the stretch in the fourth quarter. My career, I think they like the last maybe 8 minutes of the game, they just imploded, and you know how that went. Anyway, I'm still trying to see who we got on Thursday Night Football tonight. Thursday Night Football is ran on Amazon Prime. So, like I said, Thursday Night Football, it's kind of hard. I don't even, you know, you have to be watching different commercials and everything to see who's actually playing there. And I don't have my app up, any of my apps open to see who's playing. So if you want to call into the show and tell me who the hell's playing this weekend on Thursday Night Football, feel free to do so. If you want to call in and talk about some NCAA action and stuff like that, NCAA football, call into the show. In NHL, we got the Devils 6, Red Wings 2 over the Red Wings 2 in NHL action. We got the Wild 3, Canadiens 1. NHL action, Wild 3, Canadiens 1. Just rattling off some scores rattling off some NHL scores. So I did promise I'm gonna start getting my NHL scores in. This is the fourth major sport in the U.S. Avalanche 3, Rangers 2. As they come across the monitor, I'm just popping them out as they come across the monitor. Off all my NHL fans that are out there. If you'd like to call in and talk to me about NHL and debate me about the NHL and educate me on the NHL because I'm still learning a lot about hockey. If you'd like to call in and talk about that, that'd be a great thing. At the same time, you know, we got the Major League Baseball is coming up this weekend. Major League Baseball is coming up this weekend with Major League Baseball is coming up this weekend, and we got the Houston Astros against the Philadelphia Phillies. You know, that's going to be Friday. Major League Baseball World Series is coming up on Friday. The Houston Astros and the Philadelphia Phillies, they're going to go at it for the title in Major League Baseball. The World Series is coming up on Friday, so we'll be definitely tuned in to that on Friday so we can have some information for you on Monday morning or Tuesday morning, because I'm still debating on, based on my schedule, if I'm going to be doing a show on Monday morning. If I can't do a show on Monday morning, no problem. We'll be back Tuesday morning, but I'll definitely let you know. And if I'm not here on Monday morning, what I'll do is, I'll let you guys know over the weekend if I'm not going to be on air. And what I'll do is I'll post up a past episode because I got plenty of episodes. I'll post up an episode. It's almost like I do a replay. I'll post up an episode, and if you don't like the episode that I post up, all you have to do is go to my archives on my show page, and then you can just have about 38 episodes to pick from, 39 after today, that you can just pick and listen to, because I'm not going to lie and tell you that I got a great viewership right now on my live show. I do have some of my shows I've had a good amount of replays, so a lot of this information is going to be new to whoever tunes in to my show page. Whoever goes on my show page, a lot of these episodes are going to be new to you. So as long as they're new to you, that's all that matters. Just go ahead on and listen to the episode, then I'll be back live more than likely Tuesday morning, because I think Monday I'm going to have something to do. But I'll let you know over the weekend. You'll know by Sunday if I'm going to be live on air. And if I'm not live on air Monday morning, I'll be back live on air Tuesday. But anyway, coming across the wire, Packers at the Bills. Bills -10.5 over the Packers on Sunday at 8:20 Eastern. Rodgers, guys making too many mistakes, shouldn't be playing. Right move for Aaron Rodgers to publicly air his grievances. Yeah, I think what he said was warranted. He's the leader of the pack. And like he said, we got enough guys on this football team to win. Even if they're not the starters, put them in the game, because I would rather have people that aren't starting and want to fight for a job that know to play. I'd rather be working with them. Rather than working with the guys that are the starters and they don't know to freaking play. I get what he's saying. I understand what he's saying. It makes sense. It makes all the sense in the world to me. So, you know, when we look at all this stuff, when we're looking at all this stuff, you know, Aaron Rodgers, you know, he got the right. He's been in the game a long time. He's won a Super Bowl. He knows what a winning combination looks like. He knows what it feels like to throw the ball to Greg Jones and Greg Jennings. He knows what it feels like to have a winning wide receiver combination, a Jennings, a Jones. You know, these guys are, you know, on TV, you know, even talking about this all the time, being former Packers. But, yeah, I think it was the right move for him to air his grievances out publicly. I think it is, you know, because he's putting guys on notice. Ain't no point in you being on the field if you don't know the play. And I'm trying to figure out, how the heck don't you know the play or know who you're supposed to be when you're practicing every week? You got one off day. That's Tuesdays, if I'm correct. And trust me, people, when you're playing professional football on Tuesdays, that's the day where they're trying to figure out who they're bringing in to work out to replace your butt. That Tuesdays is the day that the NFL teams work people out. All the starters are – the roster is at home resting up, and Tuesday they're bringing people in on Tuesdays. Like they say, go up there on Tuesday, and you'll see them working people out in certain positions because they're trying – that's the day that they're trying to figure out who are we going to cut bait with and bring somebody else in here, and more than likely for a cheaper price. Guys think when they make it to the NFL, oh, yeah, that's the end-all, be-all. I'm on the roster. If you're one of those middle-of-the-road guys, the NFL is week-to-week, trust me. If you're a middle-of-the-road guy, the NFL is week-to-week, trust me, because they can go ahead and cut bait with you and lose a little bit of money and go ahead and bring somebody else in and either get more production or bring them in for a cheaper price than they was paying you anyway. So, I mean, and it's all about your guaranteed money. So whatever guaranteed money you got, more than likely you've already got it. But your weekly check, your weekly paycheck, your game check, that's going to be in jeopardy because you're probably going to be going home if you're not producing. But Aaron Rodgers, he calling these guys out. He's calling out his starters. He's calling out guys that want a starting job. Say, you guys need to know where y'all are. You make too many mistakes. You need to know where you need to be when I deliver the ball. So it's a mess in Green Bay. It's a mess. It is a mess. But, we got a lot of stuff going on as well. You know, we got the news about Brittany Griner. The news about Brittany Griner saying that that her appeal was not accepted by Russian courts. So they're going to be trying to move Brittany Griner, estimated in about 2 months, to a penal colony, a Russian penal colony, which has been known for people committing suicide because they don't want to be there, of course, and a lot of brutality from the guards on the inmates. So we can't do no but pray for Brittany Griner. And it just, you know, makes me feel like should African-American people be going to these countries? Should we be going abroad? No one likes Americans as it is, usually. And when you're a black American on top of it, high-level athlete making some type of money. I ain't saying the WNBA is getting the NBA check, but Brittany Griner is getting paid. And she's also played ball in Russia. So she's getting paid. When you're a black athlete and you go overseas and you get in, do one little thing, something that might seem so simple to where the natives in the country, the citizens of a country may be like get a slap on the hand. But just because you're American and you're black and you're making money, and then now socially you're part of the LGBT community, which I don't think the Russian government is fond about. I don't think they're like America where we got pride and all that. I think over there they still prosecute people for being part of the LGBT community. And, I'm not saying anything bad about it because, a lot of people know, in my personal life know anyway, but I don't mind sharing that my daughter's part of the LGBT community. You know, she's part of the LGBT community, my daughter. So I don't have anything against the LGBT community at all because my daughter's part of it. But over in Russia, if my daughter went to Russia, she'd probably be looked down upon. If her and her partner went to Russia, she'd probably be looked down upon and probably be persecuted for living for living that type of social lifestyle. In America, it's civil rights. We have civil rights for stuff like that. You have the right to love who you want to love. But in Brittany Griner's case, she got social stuff against her on top of just the criminal stuff. Small criminal offense in the United States, small criminal offense in Russia, because they don't prosecute nobody that deep in Russia for what she did, the small amount of cannabis oil or whatever she had. They don't prosecute anybody for that. Plus, she had a doctor's excuse. So now they're going to give her the max. Oh, you're going to do 9 years. You're going to do 9 years in a penal colony for that. You're going to ruin this young lady's life. For not ruin her life, literally, for that. And then the thing that's working against Brittany Griner, we're in a wartime situation. So we're supporting the war. We're supporting the defense of Ukraine by sending over billions of dollars of weaponry and whatever financial funds we're sending over. We're sending all this stuff over there, and we're trying to negotiate the release of an African-American woman sports star. And I have to put it like that, African-American woman sports star in the middle of a war. Or they don't want to call it a war. They want to call it an assault, whatever they want to call it. It's an assault on Ukraine that we're supporting Ukraine to fight back against Russia, but yet we're asking Russia to let Brittany Griner go, an African-American basketball superstar here in America and in Russia. We're asking for her release in the middle of a war. So now they're saying on the news, oh, well, Biden is going to go try to talk to Putin at the G2 summit or whatever, G6 summit, whatever the heck it is. He's going to try to have a conversation with Putin while he's there. Yeah, good luck with that. I pray it goes well, but deep in my heart, good luck with that. Want me to tell you how to get Brittany Griner back home? Let me tell you how to get Brittany Griner back home. Activate SEAL Team 5, SEAL Team 6, or both. Activate them. Go over there covertly. Bust her out of the prison that she's in right now. Bust her out of the prison. Get her out of there. But this is the kicker. To everybody, to whoever out there listening that's in the government, this is the kicker. That one hostage, that the bomb maker or whatever that we got, arms dealer, whatever he is that y'all are trying to negotiate for, put his butt on the helicopter with SEAL Team 5 or 6, drop his butt off in Russia as well. Drop his butt off, put him at the company. When you go in there and you make the raid, get Brittany Griner out, kick him out, and take off. Then we got her back. They got their hostage. Everything is fine in the world. That's how you go and you do it. And trust me, with all the counterintelligence and stuff that we got around the globe, it can be done. Brittany Griner could have been home a long time ago. But that's my rant and rave about that. That's my rant and rave about that. Just keep Brittany Griner in your prayers. I believe she just turned 32 years old last week while she was in a Russian prison. She's been over there, I think, right about 6 months by now. 6 months or so, and it's like, you know, 6-8 months, somewhere up in there, but it just doesn't make any sense. It's so stupid. So that's what we have to do. When you want to get your people back, you take an aggressive stance. Either you let her out, or we'll just come and get her. One or the other. Anyway, back off into some sport news. We got Thursday night football tonight. I'm still trying to figure out what's going on with Thursday night football, who's playing tonight. We got the Nets at the Bucks tonight at 7:30, Nets at the Bucks. I got the Bucks in that one. We got the Magic against the Cavaliers tonight at 7 Eastern, Magic against the Cavaliers. We got the Hawks at the Pistons tonight. Just rattling off the games that's coming on tonight in the NBA, just looking at my monitor. Just seeing what's going on across the wire, just rattling off the scores. Hornets and the Knicks. Hornets and the Knicks coming on tonight. It's so funny that when you're doing these radio shows and you got to do, and you got to use your telephone to do the show, people are calling you. People are calling while you're doing the show. So if you hear any beeping in the background, I'm using my phone to do my show because it's a clearer sound with this mic on my phone than it is going directly through my laptop switchboard. So sorry about the beeping. Everybody wants to call me when the late night dog is on air. We got the Nets at the Bucks tonight. Nets at the Bucks tonight again, 7:30 Eastern in the NBA. I'm going to shout out some more NHL scores off as they come, some more NHL scores. But I want to take the time right now to talk a little bit about this merger with the Indoor Football League and the XFL. The XFL is going to be using the Indoor Football League, the IFL, as their minor league football system. And I'm glad that they were smart enough to do this. Somebody needs to make a partnership with the NAL, I wish the USFL would make a partnership with the NAL or the CFL would make a partnership with the NAL because they got players over there too. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. The relationship with Hub Camp, which is ran by the GOATs, which is ran by the GOAT Tom Brady's agent, super agent Don Yee. Hub Camp, they made a partnership with the USFL. So all my players, that because of my relationship with Hub, I've gotten a whole lot of guys in. Matter of fact, I got one player going to Hub Camp on November 13th here in San Diego, California, not too far from my house. Basically, I like to say around the corner. That's how close it is. I probably could walk there. But, but anyway, you know, I'll be at Hub Camp with my man Patrick Isabel. I'm sorry, Patrick Isbell, my man Patrick Isbell, defensive end out of Frankfurt, Germany. He played for GFL1 for the Frankfurt Galaxy in GFL1, German Football League Level 1. So he's going to be there. I got some stuff posted up on Twitter, so you can go to Twitter and look at my post, Patrick Isbell, and you can see his highlights, his JUCO highlights, his pro highlights. You can see him working out behind the scenes, getting ready, getting in beast mode, getting ready to go out and dominate at Hub Camp. So we're looking for him to get a USFL contract out of the Hub Camp situation because I have a great relationship there with the vice president and the general manager at Hub. They have been gracious to me and allowed several of my players over the past 2 to 3 years to come in and get a NFL look through Hub Camp. NFL look, CFL look, and a whole lot of other pro developmental levels that come out there, whether you was in MILB, or, you know, Major League Football, MLFB, whatever they called it, even though it folded, I had one of my guys, he got a opportunity for that by going to Hub Camp as well. Big Terrence Ames, offensive lineman out of Virginia Lynchburg, he was able to go out there and perform in major league football before they folded. He was able to go out and compete for a job outdoors, but he was able to return back to the NAL and continue to play for the Carolina Cobras on their way to the championship last year. So Hub Camp has afforded several of my guys a look at an opportunity. The Indoor Football League has afforded my guys an opportunity to get film to be ready for XFL or USFL opportunity. I have multiple contacts in the IFL. Matter of fact, again, congratulations to Big Nate Bresson out of Stonehill College and Fan Control Football. He came out of Division II Stonehill College and Fan Control Football playing defensive end. He was on the playoff team, I think, for Knights of Deegan. I think he was with Knights of Deegan. If he wasn't with Knights of Deegan, it might have been Aoki. I couldn't remember who he wound up going to the playoffs with. I think it might have been Aoki, but it doesn't matter. He was out there in the Hub in Atlanta, Georgia, him and two other athletes that I had that were all rookies last year. Henry Kellogg out of a JUCO college, DuPage College. I got him right out of JUCO and put him on the Fan Control Football field, and he has this contract with the Tucson Sugar Skulls. I have Jacob Ayoub out of Amherst College, which is Division III. He has his contract also with the Tucson Sugar Skulls, playing offensive lineman. And he came out of fan. All of them came out of Fan Control, and they all were. All three were in the playoffs. Jacob Ayoub, offensive lineman, out of Amherst College. He went to the championship game with Board Ape FC. He went to the championship game with the Board Apes. So, you know, they came up short against the Zappers, but he went to the People's Championship with the Board Apes. So all I'm saying is, and I'm kind of like closing on this here, with my opportunities to work with me, it's a low price of $100. It's just $100 to use my system, which is basically just consists of, once I confirm that you paid the $100, I'm gonna take you. I'm gonna request some certain items, your film, and help you build your resume. I'm gonna have you get your film together, have you put together your resume. I'm gonna review everything, send it back for corrections if needed. If it's already ready to go on the first run, I'm gonna send it out to my coaches in the IFL, IFL, CIFL, NAL, and Fan Control. I'm gonna send it all out, and that's the order that I'm gonna go into. IFL. CIFL because it's the same style of football, but it's a level, but you can look at it marketing wise, say a level below IFL because of the marketing budget, or you can based on the organization, you can say it's right next to it. It just depends on it's either right below it or right next to it, however you want to look at it. But I rank everything marketing dollars wise, marketing budget, television exposure. So I think that being the fact that Indo Football League has a TV partner, which was on Spectrum, I think Stadium. They use Stadium, and that's ran on Spectrum cable TV. If you got Spectrum, you can catch their games on TV on the Spectrum platform, on the Stadium platform. So they got a TV partner, a national TV partner. CIFL, I think they're still using YouTube or their app, or they have a CIF app. So that's the only differentiation. But I'll send you to IFL first, to my connection there. And if you don't make it to the IFL first, I'll put you in the CIFL. And then the next season, you could probably go IFL. But I'm trying to keep everybody in Hub camp, in front of my people at Hub for USFL opportunity, and my people, my coaches in the Indoor Football League or champions in Indoor Football League, to keep you right in that minor league system for the XFL. So it's $100 of work for me to work with me. I request the items I need from you after I confirm your $100 payment via Cash App, $FORAN1. Send $100 to Cash App, $FORAN1. Send you $100. Once I confirm that I got the $100, I'll start sending your film out to Hub and sending your film out to the IFL, then the CIFL. But to keep you active, if we can't get you there, I'll drop you down. I also put you in Fan Control Football, which is they have a national TV partner with NBC, NBCLX, and I can also put you in the National Arena League to continue to develop and get film to continue to shop out for Hub and to shop out, you know, back out for the IFL for the next season. If you want to move across the aisle to the next to the IFL league, because they are partnered with the XFL as their partner to move players up and down from the XFL to the IFL, IFL to the XFL. So I got a good system in place going and everything like that, but it's just up to you to get past your suspicion, your negativity, and your doubt to work with me. You wouldn't believe how hard it is for guys to make a decision about spending $100 to change their career. But anyway, with that being said, we're going to go ahead and set Black and Fade. Oh, this is a short show today. I thank God I was able to get through the whole show today because I was sick today. I got off here at 9:17, so today looks like we'll at least be able to get close to the 9:30 mark. But I've kind of like ran out of things to say, and Late Night Dog got a couple things to do personally. So when I got some personal stuff I need to take care of, my show has some personal things to take care of because I don't have a news director yet to do the news during the show. And if I got something going on that day or need to leave early, they can continue to cover the show. So if you're out there and you're looking for a broadcasting career in media, you can come on here, get your reel together because all these shows are taped, do your news reel, and at the same time cover me on the days that I can't do the show. I can't pay you, but you can get a reel from me and, you know, learn some stuff from me because I have been trained in media performance to do this stuff. I have been trained in this, so you can come in and learn the stuff that I remember and still that I still remember and everything like that and just get your reel together so you can, you know, have a demo reel so you can take the different brick and mortar stations and try to get you a job in news broadcasting, sports related news. So anyway, with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and set Black and Fade all on the show today. It's been a great show. I was going to run some more music mix, but I'm not going to hold the audience just listening to music. I'm pretty much done with everything that I want to talk about for today. So we'll be back in the morning to tomorrow morning, bright and early, as Lord say the same, 8 o'clock a.m. to 10 o'clock a.m. tomorrow, we'll be back. And I just want everybody to stay safe out there. Get your COVID-19 boosters. Get your flu shots. It's cold in the flu season again. People are going to start coughing and sneezing. So be careful. Keep your mask on in crowded spaces as much as you can. If you're sick, stay at home. And if you're at home with a family, quarantine yourself in a room for about 5 days. And then once you start feeling better, come out. But definitely get with your doctor and take your medications while you're in quarantine. So, everybody, I want everybody to love one another. Everybody love one another. Practice love, not hate. Be light, not darkness. You know, that's my thing. I'm light, not darkness. Practice love, not hate. Treat everybody the way you want to be treated. We're all one race. That's the human race. Keep your prayers up for Brittany Griner. She's going through a tough time over there. My prayers go out to her that the power of the universe works this thing out. Whether you want to look at it like God, Jesus, Allah, whatever your religious beliefs are, it's all one power to me, one universal power that encompasses all of us and all of our thoughts. But pray to that universal power to make a change in Brittany Griner's situation, because she's being unfairly detained. And I like everybody else in the sports world, in my opinion. I believe everybody, in my opinion, wants to see her come home. I know I do. So keep Brittany Griner in your prayers. And again, we're all one race. That's the human race. Make peace, not war, and love one another. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and set black and fade all. And thank you for tuning in to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Ramiro Ferrant, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. Have a great day. Set black, fade all.